In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I'm looking at the 21st chapter of St. John, the Gospel. After these things, what things? Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. I believe. I have not seen, but I know. I know my Redeemer lives. I know Jesus by the grace of God. I know he went to the cross for me and for you. Oh yes, I believe, though I have not seen." Because I've not seen, that does not mean I have not experienced. Oh, I have experienced the Lord. I have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have experienced the Lord. And I depend upon his word and upon what he teaches to his church. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, he's always mentioned first, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others. I wonder who the two others were. We'll find that out in a little while. Two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." He's tired of waiting for the risen Lord. "I'm going fishing." I thought they sold their boats. I thought they sold their nets. "I'm going fishing. I want to do something that I know how to do it. I cannot stay here waiting for him, the Lord, to show himself to me. I cannot wait any longer. I'm going fishing." Oh, yes, that's Peter. And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that very night, they caught nothing. Oh, when you do things apart from Jesus, you catch nothing. How many experiences we have done apart from Jesus? It's our program. But is Jesus the Lord of the program? I tell you, we need the Lordship of Jesus in all that we do. I pray that you be the Lord of these Bible readings and my discussing them. Oh, yes. The night came and they caught nothing. After daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find fish." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, John, but not John and James. This is another John, a young John, who runs to the tomb with Peter. Peter gets there last, but the young John gets there first. He waits for Peter to come into the tomb. Oh, yes, the young John, the beloved disciple. It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, when they had gone ashore, I have to change the page. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught, just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. I tell you, we need to cast out our nets that people would come to believe in Jesus. We need to preach the gospel so that people will come to give their life to Jesus. We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people will surrender to Jesus. I want you to pray for a woman that is desperate right now. Jesus, go to her and calm her soul. She's desperate. She said she's not going to pray anymore. Jesus, go to her and tell her you love her. Go to her son and give him peace. Oh, yes, how we need to pray for people. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The third time, twice in Jerusalem and once in Galilee. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Like, do you love me more than all the apostles? Do you love me more? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Simon Peter said, "I love you as a friend," in Greek. Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Oh God, thank you for the privilege that I am here to feed your lambs. Thank you for the privilege of being on radio, that I am able to feed your lambs. Thank you, Lord, for trusting me. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. A second time he said to Simon, son of John, "Do you love me?" And Jesus is saying, do you love me so as to surrender everything to me? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I love you as a friend." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me as a friend?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Are you feeding your sheep? Are you going out telling people about Jesus one at a time? Oh, yeah. We're not into crowds. I told you when I preach on radio, I preach to one person, you. That's who I preach to you. I don't consider that I'm speaking to multitudes. I'm speaking to you. You, you, you. Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fashion your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch forth your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And we remember that happened in Rome. We remember that it was on a cross. We remember that Peter said, don't put me upright on the cross. Put me upside down. I don't want to be the way my master died. I'm not worthy to be upright on the cross. Put me upside down, head toward the ground. I tell you, Peter had faith. Peter had faith. He had gone preaching the word of God to people, and now he has such faith that his death would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, the young disciple. Following them, he was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. In other words, mind your own business. Stop thinking about other people, what's going to happen to them. Follow me. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Follow me. That's the same injunction that he gives the church. Follow me. Follow Jesus. Feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. That's what the injunction he gives to us. I remember when I was a deacon, I was told to go and preach the gospel to other people. I was privileged to tell, to be here, that I would go and preach the gospel as an ordained deacon. I had done it since 1968 as a layperson, by the grace of the living God. Oh, yes. By the grace of the living God. I didn't start preaching when I was a deacon. I started to preach in 1968, 69, 70, and so on. So the rumor spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is testifying, the young John, to these things that it was written them, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are so many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. I tell you, there are many more things that Jesus did in my life, in your life. Were they all written down in all the people that believe, all the books in the world would not be enough. What's he doing for you? Well, this morning he had me read a message from a lady who stopped praying because she said God doesn't care. Well, I told her, tell God help. Just scream help. She said no more. So we pray for her. She cannot pray for herself and her son, so we pray for her. We are part of the body that prays for her today. Father, again, in Jesus' name, break through her life. Heal her son. Give her son peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. I remember when I was at Sacred Heart in North Quincy, we would take every day. There are many more things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain books that would be written. And I tell you that the kids would start sharing the things that Jesus did during the week. Many of them prayed for their parents that their parents would come to know Jesus. Oh, yes, it's wonderful to know Jesus. It's wonderful to know Jesus. We finished John's Gospel, but, you know, you never finish John's Gospel. You come to the end of the words of chapter 21, but you never finish it. Why? Because it's as deep as the ocean and as high as the sky. We're doing the first letter of John, chapter 1. We declare to you that was from the beginning. Who's the one that was from the beginning? The Lord Jesus Christ. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands. What's he trying to say? What we saw and touched was not a ghost. It was the risen Savior. We saw him with our eyes. We beheld him. We touched him with our hands. He's alive. He is the one that is alive. He was from the beginning, and even before the beginning, as the Word of God had touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. This life was revealed, and so we have seen it and testified to it and declared to you the eternal life that was with the Father and with the Son. With the Father and, revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things to you that your joy may be complete. When you come to know Jesus, you're joyful. Oh, yes, you're joyful. Hallelujah. We want your joy to be complete. We want you to come into the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you experienced the Lord Jesus? Or is it only something in your head? The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not think and wonder. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We have experiential knowledge of the Son of God. Though I have not seen him with my eyes, though I have not touched him with my hands, as the apostles did, I know him. And blessed is the person who has not seen and yet believes. That's you. That's me. That's us. We have not seen, yet we believe. What do we believe? That the eternal life was with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And proclaim to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Do you need that light? He said, I am the light of the world. Do you need that? I need that light. Oh, yes, when I pray with people, I need that light that God would give me the experience of knowing how to pray and what to pray for. Today I prayed for my friend Ron, that his leg would be healed. And again, I say, be healed, leg, in Jesus' name, through the power of the blood. Be healed, leg, in Jesus' name, by the power of the cross. When? Now, in Jesus' name. Turn a corner, leg, and be healed, in Jesus' name. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us all from sin. and gives us the light to walk in, because God is light. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We remember in the 20th chapter of St. John, his gospel, he said, whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven, whose sins you retain shall be retained. We need to go to confession, to confess our sins. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Well, people say, you know, what sin have I committed? I don't rob banks, I don't murder. I tell you, but you're a gossip. Well, you know, everybody does it. Well, you know what? That's sin. And you need to ask for sorrow. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to give your life to Jesus. Well, you know, I'm not very religious. I'm not calling you to be religious. I'm calling you to be faithful. There's a big difference between being religious and being faithful. Being religious, you can have superstitions. Being faithful, you're faithful to the Son of God who became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Chapter 2 of the letters of St. John. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for the world's sins. Oh, yes, you say, well, you know, I'm too bad. He is the sacrifice for your sins and the world's sins. Do you know that today? You need to be cleaned up from the inside out. Get to confession. At St. John the Baptist Church in Quincy, we have confessions every Saturday for 2 hours in cars. The car goes up to the priest who is listening, and they have 2 whole hours of confessions. About 25, 26 people, even more, go to confession on a Saturday. And on a Wednesday evening between 7 and 8, we have confessions on the car, going from car to the priest who listens to the confessions. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We say you've got to use the sacrament of penance. Well, Father Matt uses it, and he came up with car confessions, and people come from all around because many people, many parishes have not opened up yet. We go near St. Anthony's Shrine on Arch Street, and it's been closed since March. If St. Anthony's Shrine ever should be open, it's today, because people are desperate. They are desperate. They are desperate. They need to go to confession. That place needs to be opened up. Priests can wear a mask and one of those headgears, but that place needs to be opened up for the workmen, for the workwomen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Let me tell you today, you are loved with an everlasting love. God wants you to experience that love. Are you desperate enough to call on the name of Jesus? Help Jesus. Help Jesus. Are you desperate enough to call on the name of Jesus? God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.